This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 58, is it?
I think it must be 58 now.
When I'm 58, will you still feed me?
You'll be dead, Simon.
You still need
You'll be
me?
Dead. You won't make 58.
Not at this rate. I'm knackered this morning. Right? I thought I'll have an early night.
That's always a mistake.
And I thought I'd just quickly watch the headlines, put the telly on, and it was literally the very first seconds of Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Doom, 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 doom.
Hot town, summer in. Right. And then I watched the whole thing.
Did you watch it up to the point of robot sex?
Yeah, I watched it up to the point and past robot sex.
What's the point of going past the robot sex? Isn't that the end of the film? That's when I lost all concentration.
The robot sex, in case you haven't seen the film, is when Jeremy Irons has what is supposed to be quite an erotic moment with, I think she's a statue.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Well, she sort of walks around in hot pants with a cigarette hanging out her mouth because she can't learn how to use a lighter. She can kill people, but can't use a lighter.
She hasn't got hot pants on.
And to be honest, she's just there for window dressing, bless her. And she kills that guy with a knife in the corridor.
That's true.
That's quite cool.
It's quite a nasty knife as well.
Also in that film, there's a scene where Jeremy Irons, after, you know, a few explosions, he's covered in dust, is trying to goad a chicken into a fight. Literally, there's a chicken, and Jeremy Irons doesn't want to just aggravate the chicken straight away by kicking it, but is trying to get the chicken to attack him, and it's a good scene.
That's not true, is it?
That's
there's
true.
No chicken goading in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Can you imagine him, though, as Hans Gruber's brother? What was his name?
Simon.
It wasn't Hans. Oh, yeah, Simon Says.
Yeah.
Simon Gruber trying to antagonize a chicken. I was going to say egg on a chicken, but that's a sort of racist language that chickens hate.
What you may not know is that they filmed the original ending where John McClane's gone mad. This is true, I'm not making this up. He's gone mad. It's 6 months later, and he tracks Simon down to somewhere in Europe. And because he's gone mad and he's lost his job and he blames Simon for it, he gets a rocket launcher. Right? And he takes the sights off, so you don't know which end is which. And he has a game of McClane Says with Simon.
They filmed that?
I haven't seen it, and it's on the American Special Edition DVD, so it's worth seeing, I think. But at the end of it, basically, I think they're stood either side of this rocket launcher, and John McClane puts a gun to Simon's head and makes him fire it, and it goes through Simon, and it turns out John McClane was wearing a bulletproof vest, so he wouldn't have died after all. That's probably not the best ending for that film.
I think that's quite excellent. What happens to the chicken?
It quite literally laid an egg.
Wow, scrambled.
Did you buy a chicken?
Oh, can we do Sunday's chicken? We should just each buy a chicken and then compare them.
Didn't you once have to choose between chickens on a Sunday?
I did have to choose between. I have a broken family, you see. And my stepdad and my mother had been arguing, this was when I was about 15, had been arguing for about 4 days of not speaking to each other. And then randomly, after school one day, I was called downstairs to find on the table two whole roast chickens and them both looking furiously at me, demanding to know which chicken I was to eat. And I had to sit down. Neither of them were eating because they were both sulking. And I had to sit down and take a bit of chicken from each chicken and eat it so as to be diplomatic. And that is how I think America must feel when talking about Gaza. So,
yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you get a newspaper?
I did. I got the Independent. What did you get?
I got the News of the World. So this is quite literally going to be you toying with me in a Simon Gruber-esque manner. You're Simon Gruber and I'm John McClane, which is great.
That'd be cool, actually. I'd be happy with that. I'd prefer to be Hans... Well, I wouldn't prefer to be Hans Gruber. I prefer to be doing things... Not Hans Gruber from Hello, Hello.
Damn. I'm setting that up and you...
I know.
You just pissed all over it.
I know.
Fine.
But, you know, Hans Gruber from Hello, Hello was later married to Annette Crosby in Black Books and was Bill Bailey's father. So that means that Bill Bailey is the son of Alan Rickman. In my head.
cutting out and keeping, I'm really tired, so yours is inevitably going to be really boring, so I'll have a bit of a nap whilst you tell me all about your article.
Okay. Well, Simon, my article, and you're going to quite like the headline for this one, is called Magical Muffy Gives Us All Pause for Thought.
Muffy?
Yeah. Magical, and pause is spelled P-A-W-S.
Right.
And it's an entire page, and it says, Muffy, below with RSPCA Inspector Gail Coulter, was found at a house in Melbourne, 1,200 miles from her home. And this is 9 years after she first disappeared, 1,200 miles from home. Missing Mutt makes a dramatic appearance.
Right, so it's a dog, not a cat.
Yes. The little tagline that they've got in big is, are you sitting down? They found Muffy.
It's lucky I was sat down then. I nearly fell over.
They basically lost a dog for 9 years and found her again.
It's not the same dog.
It is the same dog. Microchipped.
No.
So the other dog ate the other dog.
Yeah, exactly. And just got it stuck in its gullet.
It is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Well, quite.
It seems a truly singular case until you start searching the records and find that dogs seem to make a habit of such vanishing acts. Just last month, a Staffordshire Terrier called Fatty... sorry, missing for 8 years this year, turns up more than 400 miles from his Sydney home. This largely is an Australian problem.
Right.
But these tales are nothing to that of Bobby, a mixture of Collie and English Shepherd. Basically, Bobby turned up at a home in Indiana, and they worked out that he must have walked his paws down to the bone. They worked out he must have walked 2,800 miles home.
Wow. Well, I mean, there is that littlest hobo, isn't there? Is that a reference that you don't understand because you think you're young?
I don't understand the Little Hobo reference. Is that something to do with Lady and the Tramp?
No, it's about a dog who wanders around America getting into adventures. It's like Paris Hilton's show in many ways.
Do you see that? Oh, meow. What was that one, All Dogs Go to Heaven? Was that real? Was that a movie? There's a thing when you're a kid, you don't know what's a movie, what's a TV show, and what...
Well, there's Dog Tanyan and the Three Musker Hounds.
Albo the Fifth Musketeer. He's sharp, he's cool, he's nobody's fool. He's Albo the Fifth Musketeer.
Yeah, is Albert a dog?
Albert. Well, no, but he's very little.
No, so...
You'd have liked him. You'd make it a good Albert if you could, you know, fight and were a bit cleverer.
No, look, right, we're talking about dogs, right? You can't just bring any random...
That's the evil guy called Admiral Richelieu. He wore red. He was a bit sexy. And the Queen, I think, used to shag him. The Queen used to shag everybody.
In a kid's show?
I think so, yeah. Well, she'd always be flirting with men and then be in their flats.
There was no shagging in Albert the Fifth Musketeer. It's a kid's show. It's not Skins.
Well, it's a bit like Skins in the sense that it's better than you think it's going to be.
I have got The Price of Love, and it's five women who have figured out how much they've spent on getting a man. I want you to guess how much you think Christy Perkis Winter spent to get a man.
Christy Perkis Winter? Okay. Well, she's spent a lot on names already.
Yeah.
So, on getting a man. Now, I bet she's including her own beauty regime.
Right.
In that cost. Right. So, it's probably £250,000.
It was £2.
Oh.
What about Natalie Burrows?
I'd say £48. 26p.
£600.
Why? That's a very expensive man. I'm sure you could get them cheaper.
Emma Stillwell.
See, all of these people really need to get married because they've got rubbish names. £4.20.
£336. Lisa Weber.
£900.
£8,000. And finally, wow. Emma Hill. How much do you think Emma Hill spent on finding a man?
Is it going up? No, it went down a bit, so it might not go. I'll say £5,000.
£19,000.
Oh.
They've all got a little story with them to say how they found their man. And all of them, the only thing they say about their man is he was oof and gorgeous. So he's either 6 foot and gorgeous or he was hunky and gorgeous. They don't talk about this man in any other way other than his physicality, which I find sexist.
Aw, oh, poor Simon. You are much more than the way you look. Well, you've got to be.
Now, Lisa Weber, who spent £8,000 on plastic surgery, thinks that...
That is not getting a man. I mean, you can get a man by, you know, hanging your bottom out the window.
No, you can't.
You can.
But she described herself...
That is
herself...
how they do it in France.
Right, she's 28, right?
Okay.
And she had this surgery done when she was 25 because, and I quote, My size 12 body was blubbery, and my boobs a saggy 34B.
Yeah, well, I don't know how she could live with that.
Quite. Lounging by the pool, all I could see were girls with toned figures and perfectly put full boobs. Well, just don't go to that pool.
They were all 17 anyway.
Then I overheard a man commenting on how flat-chested I was. Oh, God. I hate people so much.
So I win then?
No, you're a person. Sort of. Emma Hill, 23, who spent £19,000 jet-setting all over the world on her parents' money. So it's not even her money. She goes, I wanted to find the perfect man, so I was partying at elite clubs, and by the summer I decided to hit Paris, Cannes and Milan, fishing for a man. She eventually found him in a shop.
Little?
Yeah, he was a bargain.
We're getting a little in Whitney, I think. It's either Little or Aldi. I can't wait.
We really haven't got anything to talk about.
Oi, I've got loads. Oi, I had a magical muffin. It gives us all pause for thought. Come on.
One vodka found me the perfect man.
Ugh.
She went into a bar, fancied the barman because he was something and gorgeous, no doubt. Asked him to buy her a drink, at which point he said no. So she bought one and then sat at the bar staring at him for the rest of the night.
God, that's attractive.
Yeah, incredibly attractive.
That's just a bit freaky.
So it's basically your dogs who have gone missing.
Dogs beat bitches any day.
Oh, well, I'm glad you said that. I wasn't going to go for that, but, you know, if you can make the sexist comments.
They are bitches. I mean, for God's sake. Quantifying how much you spend on getting, like, you know, you could sort of say, oh, that years I went to university and, you know, studied something and then got a job and then through my job got a man. Well, that's about 10,000. I mean, shut up.
Could you not also say every moment in my life led up to the moment I met my man, therefore I've
and also, you can't possess men. They're not possessions, are you? You're your own little beasts.
Yeah, well, you can't buy me.
You can.
No, you can't.
You can.
You couldn't buy me if you wanted to. What's really the most annoying thing is that they've all got a little heart that they're holding up, like a board with the amount on.
Nice.
And they all look exactly the same.
Well, sort of like relatively thin, in their 30s, too much eye makeup.
They're not in their 30s.
Aren't they?
The perfect man for 20-year-old Christie Perkins Pinker.
I see.
20-year-old.
So basically all with baggy t-shirts with a belt tied around their waist and long, flat hair.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And also like looking slightly nervous but ego-filled at the camera.
Yeah. So I win.
No, you don't.
Oh, no, you're right, I don't. You win. Article or farcical, then? I'm too tired to care today. So...
Well, you were too tired to care last week, and you still won.
No, I cared last week.
You didn't care, you just said, oh, there's three.
Oh.
And then, like an idiot, I realised as I was reading them out that inevitably I was being drawn to put the farcical in third place, which I did, and then you won.
You know, if you're going to fall for my wily machinations, that's your problem, not mine.
You don't have wily machinations.
Apropos of nothing.
Obviously.
Yesterday, I found that I was dressed as Superman.
What?
Well, I had a blue t-shirt on and red pants, so...
Wow. But you were presumably wearing trousers, not blue tights.
Well, yeah, and also my underwear was underneath those trousers.
In an emergency situation, you think you could have passed...
Yeah, I could have passed mustard. Yeah, quite easily. I couldn't have passed mustard. That would be gross.
That would be painful.
Yeah, especially if it was whole grain. What? Just start.
Okay. Dear readers and dear Simon, in this week's edition of Article or Farcical, I will be taking articles from The Independent on Sunday, and three of them are from that. One of them I have made up, and it's up to you at home, you lucky people, to guess which ones I have made up. Simon, are you ready?
Yeah.
Coleslaw cure-all.
Right.
Which isn't about coleslaw being a cure-all for disease, but actually how to make really good coleslaw.
I know how to make really good coleslaw.
Do you put a slight dash of mango chutney in it?
No. The trick is not to stir it, but to mix it with your hands.
Yes, that is in there. They say whatever you do, don't blend.
See?
Anyway, a pill for every ill. This is Britain's new addiction. This is about how everybody's addicted to pills, prescription pills, and we have drug addicts in the streets. But they're actually...
Do you
actually
want to say drug addicts again?
No, drug addicts.
You would just sound stupid saying drug addicts.
I don't mind sounding stupid.
Fine. Number
then
three.
Then I've got Fringe on Benefits, which is Credit Crunch Edinburgh, which is all about the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And finally, is this an article or is this a farcical? The Spice of Life, a garden festival for chilies.
For chilies or of chilies?
No, for chilies. And it's all about the different types of chilies you can get. It's an entire garden festival, so like no flowers, no shrubbery, just chilies.
So it's of chilies, it's not for... Like chilies aren't walking around a garden festival, are they?
It says for chilies in the new review on the Independence on Sunday, the 2nd of August 2009. So there.
Obviously, I was correct about something in the substance of the coleslaw. That sounds dirty in my head, but I don't know why.
It doesn't sound dirty outside your head, so you must have a coleslaw fetish.
Maybe.
What do you eat coleslaw with anyway? What would be your recommended
eating? I'd use my mouth.
Okay, that's a good one.
What about you?
Probably my fingers.
You mean what would I have it as a side dish of?
Yeah. Or right. Would you have it as a full dish in and of itself? Because I find it too creamy.
No, you can't have it a bowl of coleslaw for
yeah,
your
it's
supper.
Just wrong. No.
It's usually pretty good with some sort of beef.
Beef, okay.
Or minced Rickman. Oh, God, I really want a minced Rickman.
I want to watch Rickman mincing. Have you seen Blow Dry?
Anyway, time is a ticking. I am going to say that number four, the chili thing... is bottom fodder.
Okay. Well, let's do in the middle then. Let's do Fringe on Benefits. This is Credit Crunch Edinburgh. This is an arsecal.
Right.
Pill for Every Ill, Britain's New Addiction. This is an arsecal, a massive arsecal, in fact, and very, very tedious it was. And then, so we've got Coleslaw Cure-All or Spice of Life.
You turned it on me, didn't you? You just said about the mixing and the blending.
Spice of Life is an arsecal. Simon is wrong. Coleslaw Cure-All is the farcical. Izzy wins.
Time to read out your random thoughts that you've decided to...
Does he say yippee-ki-yay, mother... in the fourth film?
I can't remember. I've seen it twice, but I honestly can't remember if he says it. I like the fourth film a lot.
But it's not proper Die Hard because he's not partnered up with a black guy, which in every other Die Hard film, he's partnered up with a black guy.
He's not partnered up with a black guy in the first one.
Yeah, he's the cop. They share a Twinkie.
No. they don't meet. There's not partners. They don't partner up.
They have a Twinkie experience and they are partnered up. And they meet at the end where they wink at each other and rub each other a bit.
No!
Yeah.
Die Hard is not a metaphor for
gay sex. Interracial gay sex.
No, that it's not.
Why else mention the Twinkies? And they literally go into too much detail about the Twinkies.
No.
Because he buys...
No,
the
you're
cop
confusing...
Buys,
no, you're
the cop buys Twinkies and then reads out the ingredients list to John McCain. And John McCain...
Klain.
No, McCain. He is very old. And John McCain just disapproves of things.
Look,
and then
you're
and
confusing
then,
Die Hard, right,
yeah,
with Ghostbusters, which does have a Twinkie undertone to it.
Does it?
Yes.
They smoke a lot in Ghostbusters.
Tell them about the Twinkie. Do you not remember that?
I only saw Ghostbusters when I was a kid.
Oh, God. I'm too young to remember anything good.
I'm not too...
Dear Izzy and Simon, everything Izzy said last week was still wrong, and he's quite correct, and will probably be correct again next week.
But it's not fair.
The Twinkie is not a metaphor for bottom sex.
It is.
It is not.
You even have, like, there are gay
young men. If he'd
put
the Twinkie in a ring donut...
There are gay young men called Twinks, like there are gay hairy men called Bears.
What?
It's true! It's true. If you go on, like, I'm not recommending any porn websites, but YouPorn is free. So, and you look on the gay sex there, you'll have lists of twinks.
No.
Lists of twinks.
No.
And then you
Die
have...
Hard
just
is not
Die Hard.
A metaphor for gay sex.
Why
this is not
is
a Quentin Tarantino routine.
Why is it that he's always loving gay men? In that, never the women. He goes after his daughter and that sort of thing, but he doesn't...
He saved his wife twice. His wife. Not his beard. His
but
wife.
He doesn't really love her. He's doing it for the cop.
Anyway, have you got a letter?
Yes, I do. Dear Izzy, actually, Simon, yeah?
Yeah, whatever.
This is saying that Daniel from Stoke was wrong. You're not always wrong. However, no nipples, no neck and five arses. isn't a very good description of Daniel Stoke. It is a perfect description of Darren Lyons, a man who every 3 years eclipses Piers Morgan and casts a cunt shadow over the globe.
Yeah, he is quite frightful. He's a paparazzi, isn't he? He runs a company of photographers who run around sticking their lenses up women's skirts.
Yes, frightful Darren Lyons. And I don't like him for that.
So Darren can't be right and wrong.
That is true, so he's obviously wrong.
No, he's obviously right.
A positive outcome and a negative outcome, you can't go with the hypothesis on that. It's inconclusive. Therefore, you're wrong for
asserting
anything.
Right, well, hang on.
If he's making... He's making a statement which cannot be proven right or wrong, therefore he's wrong for making the statements. Therefore Izzy wins.
No, I'm going to play the Die Hard with a Vengeance card now, which has a negative ending and a positive ending.
Yeah, but nobody's got a bazooka, so you're wrong.
We're going to do a non-supplementary supplemental supplement section now, because apparently Izzy's got something that was good that wasn't in the supplements of her paper.
Yeah, well, it's either that or I talk about a music thing which just says the title, Shoreditch isn't cool, just very wet.
So I've got to essentially read the news of the world now and find something worth talking about.
Go on.
Breasts. Michael Jackson's deathbed. Breasts. Breasts. Barbara Windsor. Breasts. Breasts. Thighs.
Thighs.
Picture of breasts.
Well, I've
Tony
got...
Tony Blair.
And this, see, look, this shouldn't be in the main news, but it's in the news things on page 31 of news. And it's not news, it is a supplement, right? This is obviously a supplement. It's called The Riddles of Oz. And this is Munchkin Orgies, Vile Leading Ladies, Ill-Treated Actors, Andrew Johnson and David Randall sift the truth from the lies surrounding the most watched film ever. Because it's 70 years since The Wizard of Oz came out. So they called it The Riddles of Oz, and they've got a full double page thing. And basically they've interviewed some of the people still alive from the cast.
Yeah.
The Munchkins were unruly orgiasts.
But they romped. That's what the papers normally say, isn't it, as a euphemism? They romped.
The rumours that's been going around is they went into a 24-hour backer channel. I don't understand.
Backer
anyway,
channel?
Yeah, it sounds a bit like a Twinkie episode.
If John McClane woke up in Oz...
Yeah, they'd all be dead.
It'd be great, wouldn't it? The Yellow Brick Road would be paved with blood.
Get John McCain...
McClane.
McCain.
No.
And... Oven chips... And Jack Bauer.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
They'd f***ing kill each other.
With rocket launchers.
Yeah. And Jack Bauer would be very quiet about it, whispering. And John McCain would just be going, no!
What page was that on?
31.
Right, on my page 31, I've got Time Lewd, My Doctor Who Terror Snogging and Billy Piper's Boobs.
One of the cast committed suicide. A certain kind of film buff will insist that in the background of the scene where Dorothy meets the Tin Man,
oh,
a munchkin can be seen hanging himself from a brook
tree. That's rubbish. It's like that myth that there's a ghost in Three Men and a Baby.
Quite apart from the unlikelihood of the studio leaving such a shot in the final print, there is no record of such a death.
Obviously.
And it's actually a large tame bird. Used to give the woods some life, ironically.
Oh,
is this true or false, then? The Munchkins were paid less than the dog.
That'd be true.
That is true. The Wicked Witch was not very wicked in real life.
Well, obviously true.
Yes. Billy Burke, who played the Good Witch, was no teenager.
What? Why would I think she was a teenager?
These days, the part of Glinda, the beautiful witch, would have been played by some fresh-faced young actress. Guess how old she was, Billy Burke.
43.
54.
Wow.
A studio top dog wanted to drop somewhere over the rainbow.
Yes, that is true. They actually cut it out originally.
Yeah. Louis B. Mayer reportedly thought the song slowed the film down too much.
Yeah, he actually forced them to cut it out and they put it back in eventually.
Yeah.
So we've concluded essentially that The Wizard of Oz would have been better as an action film.
Yeah, that'd be so cool. The monkeys were in Wizard of Oz with Brian Blessed, weren't they? No.
No, that was Flash Gordon, you twit.
Oh, I get so confused. I always think that Skeletor's going to be in it as well.
Time to put our humdongers on the scales and weigh them up for mass, maybe. I don't know. What is the difference between weight and mass? I know I should know that.
Gravity.
Oh, right, yeah, gravity.
Because you can have mass when you're not in a gravitational field, but weight is basically mass times gravitational thing.
Yeah, and you can't have mass outside of church.
You can, because you can have black mass, but that's not necessarily good, and you will summon up Christopher Lee, and he will hit you with sticks.
Did you see that the church is now offering a 2-for-1 offer on weddings and baptisms?
I know, it's brilliant, and I heard Peter Hitchens just go, it's terrible.
Well, of course he thinks it's terrible. He thinks everything's terrible.
You know.
And did you post somewhat on Facebook today about the Catholic Church having shares in...
The pill,
yeah, nice.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I love the fact that they don't mind investing money in contraception, just telling people to use it to save lives.
Well,
that's evil.
That's probably why they keep going on about not giving it away. Don't give it away. We need our profits. Right, I'm offering up tantric and toxic. As
oh,
always.
God, not those two. Bloody you always awful. Do this when it's news to the world. These two bimbos, and they are both bimbos. You've got a man bimbo and a girl bimbo going, oh, well, you shouldn't sleep with them, or, oh, well, you should sleep with them. You shouldn't sleep with them because I'm a girl. We should sleep with them because I'm a bloke, but we all like sex, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's okay. Literally, you've summed it up completely.
You see, it's hard to win Humdonger when you've got the Bloomin' Independent, because the Bloomin' Independent's got proper words in it. But I found this flip chart. Teeth, hair, outrageous confidence, tick, tick, tick. If you want to be a Disney idol, you need the lot. And a little help from an established starlet appearing with you. The latest tween getting a lift, Alison McCalker. Never heard of her, you soon will. And basically, they've got a flip chart showing her connections to the rest of tween celebrity.
Let me just clarify, you're saying tween, not twink.
Yeah, that's true. Because tween and twink's different things. Yeah, it's just, it's not even written. It's just literally faces with links between them. So, for example, between Alison, you've got her linked to Vanessa Hudgens with the word band slam between them. Vanessa Hudgens linked to Corbin Blue. And then those two, Vanessa Hudgens and Corbin Blue, linked to Zac Efron.
And the readers of The Independent are supposed to know who these people are.
This is basically assumed.
So who wins then? I don't understand. Yours is just a load of pictures and mine is rubbish. So.
Well, yeah, but yours is bound to be rubbish because you bought News of the World. So it's not really a humdonger, is it? Whereas you expect a certain standard in The Independent. So I win. But yours is written rather than just pictures.
No, it's not. It's two people literally pissing on a keyboard. Time to decide then who has the superior supplements. And we had a letter this week saying that you're just not trying anymore, is he?
What do you mean I'm not trying? I won. I won this week, certainly.
Nick
I mean,
Cohen
Simon's
says
no way.
That you're not trying. He says, you know, you're clearly, you just don't try. But I think, to be fair, you have tried this week, just simply by buying a better paper than me.
I have tried and I have succeeded. I am the winner. I think it's obvious. I think anybody listening will be like, yeah.
Yeah, basically, you're walking off into the snow with your wife going, the weather outside is frightful, but fire is so delightful. And then a man comes out of a blanket with a gun and tries to kill you, but your not gay sex twinkie partner shoots him.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's snow or fax paper.
You're right. No, I never thought of that before. It never snows in LA except in Buffy. So yeah. The paper you should have bought last week was The Independent on Sunday because it was clearly better than the News of the World.
And what also should you do this week, Simon?
Oh yeah, no, you shouldn't. Aww. Go and see Izzy's show because it doesn't start until when?
Thursday.
In Edinburgh.
Yeah.
At Espionage.
Espionage, correct. It's a free festival, so it's absolutely free. I'm on the top floor. I'm on at 2:45 every day of Espionage, which is on Victoria Street and the Cowgate.
And at no point does she dangle Hans Gruber out and let him fall from that top floor with a watch strap.
No, I would never let him fall.
You would.
I would not.
You'd let him fall into your bed.
Yeah, I'd let him fall on top of me. But apart from that, never let him fall.
Apparently, he was really mad with John McTiernan because McTiernan was giving him a countdown when they were going to drop him for that shot. But he released him much too early.
He released him on 2, yeah.
Yeah, so to get that a genuine shock is real. So yes, Espionage at what time?
2:45.
2:45. It's on all month except...
Yeah. Izzy Lawrence, Matter of Tact. Yeah, not the 19th, but you can turn up anyway and we'll go for coffee. That'd be good. But yeah, so you should do that. I don't think we're going to do a podcast next week, are we, Simon?
No, I'm not here next week and you'll be sort of kind of in depth with your show. We'll probably
we'll
be here
a
the week
bit.
After if you've got internet in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out. We should be here in a fortnight, but we can't promise because Izzy may not have the internet in Scotland. Well, the weather outside is frightful. But the fire is so delightful. That's the end of our Die Hard episode.
So yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers.
I wanted to say that. Our theme tune is Scott Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.